Have you ever thought about what the mindset is and the capability of what your mindset can truly achieve? In today's episode, we're going to unpack 8 great mindset tips that along my journey in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, has helped me along the journey. So I hope that I can entertain and we can have some fun on a Friday evening tonight. Well, let's get into today's content. First of all, believe skills can be developed. Again, believe skills can be developed. See, I know that buzzword is becoming more of a buzzword nowadays, of the growth mindset. What is the growth mindset? See, when we look at it and we unpack it, it's more of a foundation that we build upon by continuous improvement. It's not that we get better overnight. We get better in increments. Oh, I think I'm going somewhere with this. What I'm saying is that from time to time, we want to get to the destination so fast that we don't want to take the steps up the stairs. See, the stairs, or as they say, the escalator is the fastest way up, but the stairs is a journey that allows you to enjoy the way up to your destination. So team development, we want to ensure that we're investing in upskilling others, and then weekly practice. How much time do you dedicate to actually getting better? How much time do you dedicate to your craft or whatever that thing is? For me, it's project management. If you can't tell, I'm always dedicating time to my craft, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's an hour, whether it's 2 hours, whatever that thing is for you, what fits your schedule. And I know what you're going to tell me, "Ed, I don't have the time." You know, well, that's interesting. Well, I probably can guess that if you are watching your favorite show, then you got the time. If you are doing anything other than developing your skill set, we all know you got the time. Here's my actionable tip. Leadership abilities aren't fixed. What does fixed means? Meaning that they're not stagnant. That means they're not static. They are developed over time. So grow with effort. Set aside time each week for the skill development using platforms like LinkedIn, like we're on right now, or YouTube, or the PMI resources. Normalize the learning curve. You know, everyone wants to get, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm not immune to it, family, where I want to get there, but I understand though, going through this process, that there's a beginning stage. It's always where I always go back to the baby reference. When a baby is learning to walk, it's the beginning stages of standing up and falling down and standing up again. So the beginning stages, expect slow starts and mistakes. And while we're at it, I'm going to unpack that a little bit more. Don't try and compare yourself to where you see others at. We all fall into that trap because it looks good. It looks sexy. It looks amazing. Like, wow, but we don't know what they've done behind the scenes. So progress, celebrate these small wins along the way in your journey. And then mastery. I don't believe there's a such thing as mastery. I think if you're a student, which I hope we all are, that we're continually to develop, to grow and to get better, and then achieve through being persistent, consistent, and practicing. Here's my actionable tip. No one gets it right immediately. Make this clear during your onboarding or progress, because progress matters more than perfection. You know, I wanted to be perfect when I first got into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, where I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to get everything right. I wanted to be the exceptional project manager right away. And then I had a project manager pull me to a side because he's seen the enthusiasm. He's seen the ambition. And he was like, "Hey, this is your first project. Take it easy. You're going to have to go through this learning curve. But after you get through this learning curve, you're still going to grow, because every project has a unique endeavor. That's how you know you're leading a project. There's no project that should be the exact same." All right, let's move on to the next point here. Foster curiosity. Do you remember as a kid, it used to get on my mom's nerves, where I always ask her, "Well, why we got to do that?" Okay, she answered that. Then, "Why are we doing that?" And then I'll ask her again, "Well, why?" I didn't even know about the five whys. But as a child, watch this, family, we would always foster a sense of curiosity. We would ask that why question for a deeper understanding, but we got a couple certifications behind our name. We got a couple degrees behind our name, or we got experience behind our name, and we forgot, or we had a lapse of judgment on the importance of asking the question why. Then we have to understand about the importance of generating ideas. What does that look like? Developing innovative solutions. How can we build off a current solution that's in place? And then repeating the process, continuing the cycle of inquiry, making sure that we are continuously to grow and learn from what the question of us asking why, the reason why we're generating ideas. And then watch this, this even gets better, is how do we align with stakeholders so we can create a stronger partnership. Sometimes we forget our stakeholders are our partners. Our project team are our partners. So why are we not partner up instead of trying to act like, well, I'm the project manager and this is how it's going to be done? No. We must partner up with our team. Here's my actionable tip. Practice the five whys techniques in meetings. Model curiosity for your team. When I say model, I'm saying don't do as I say, do as I do. Meaning if you see me doing it, we need to do it. Not saying that you have to, but I'm saying, how can I lead? Say I want to lead by example and I'm not setting the example myself. How can I ask something of someone else if I'm unwilling to do it? So again, model curiosity after your, for your team. Better questions lead to better outcomes. Why are we doing this? I might go on my rant, so excuse me in advance. See, one of the things I remember, when I was leading my first project, again, I don't know why I always keep going back to that first project, because it was just so interesting. It was really a journey that I went on there. But what I learned about that is that when you start asking questions like, hey, why are we doing that? And they regurgitate the same information someone else passed down to them, and they don't know the why. Now we have a bigger problem. The bigger problem is that we all need to understand why we are doing that. It's not to say that we can't continue to do that or I'm trying to cut the process. No, we need to have a better understanding, because maybe there's a better way to do it and we are not doing it the better way, because back then that's how it was done. So asking better questions lead to better outcomes. Replace perfectionism with progress. Oh man, whew. I've seen so many talented people along my journey. I've seen people that I just knew if they just took immediate action, if they didn't try to make it perfect, if they didn't get all the details together and just moved forward, that they will learn in the journey more about themselves. They will learn more about where they're actually trying to go in life. But sometimes we get so caught up in perfectionism. Perfectionism looks like, I want to make sure everything is right. Perfectionism looks like, well, I don't want any detail missed. And I'm all about that. I love details, but it gets to a certain point where we must get started. So here's the breakdown. Plan small steps, ship early versions, gather feedback, and refine iteratively. What does that sound like? That sounds like a Scrum framework, doesn't it? Exactly. When you look at refine iteratively, it's more or less that we're doing retrospectives. What is retrospectives? Is when we expect the quality of what we just done. What can we do better here? How can we continue this to improve? This is one of the reasons why I'm always pushing that we start doing this actually in a predictive style approach to project management. Predictive is your waterfall approach to project management, because you learn more then, and then watch this, family, you take what you learn and you put it to use right away, versus our lessons learned approach. We wait till the end of the project, and then at the end of the project, we take all the things we've learned along the way. And sometimes, let's be honest, we forget some of the things that we learned because we solved it and just kept on moving. But just imagine if we got to take certain parts at the end of each particular phase or task that we had a challenge with, and say, what did we really learn from that? How did we really grow from that, and then get better with it? Here's my actionable tip. Use a Scrum framework to build momentum, ship smaller outputs, and refine them from there. Progress builds confidence, not only in just you, but also your team. See, confidence is one of those tricky things, because every time you walk into a new project, you have this type of nervousness. Okay, maybe it's not you, maybe it's me. Okay, I'll be transparent. I have a nervousness, not a fear, not a scare, but I have a nervousness of wondering, hey, I hope this goes well. I hope we have the right resources. I hope that we have the budget and everything like that. And when you start going into that hope phase, instead of saying, you know what, it doesn't even matter. This is what's going to happen is we're going to lead this project effectively. We're going to hold everyone accountable, including including myself. And whatever happens, I believe in the team that we're going to have a growth mindset to be able to course correct whatever comes our way. We're going to follow the proper procedures. And when the proper procedures, if we have to pivot, we will pivot. We will not stay stagnant just because that's how they've always done it. We will make the adjustments that's required. All right, stay open to new approaches. Listen, methods evolve. I don't know what the solution that may have worked on the last project may not work on this project. Experiment with it and see if it works. If it don't, then we need to pivot. A lot of times what we'll do is use old tactics when the game has changed, when there's new players, and then the way that you talked and coached to those new players, you can't keep that same energy. So we must keep it in our back of our mind of who we're dealing with and how we can make these adjustments as we go. Schedule innovation time. Even if you block maybe 10, 15 minutes off for yourself, if you can't get your team involved, because what this does is that you're always looking at ways to bring fresh ideas and experiment. This is my new motto. Like, my new motto is experimentation, because I feel that we don't experiment anymore because of the fact of we're nervous of failure. And if we understand failure, what it truly means, failure to me, my definition, my remix is more or less of, well, that didn't work, I'm going to try something else. But failed is saying, hey, I give up. You know, I don't want to do this no more. This is not working. I'm done. Failure is just saying, hey, that didn't work. Let's move on to the next one. And then source team ideas. Ask, why shouldn't we be trying something different? Here's my actionable tip. Keep your leadership style relevant. What worked in the past may not work now. And I talked about this. So being able to invite fresh perspectives regularly works, especially from your team. See, I also have an episode where I talk about the four psychological safeties and having the ability to more or less invite new ideas, create a safe place, and experiment with those actual ideas. Welcome uncomfortable conversations. I know this is one of the most challenging things as a project manager. I'm not going to use this introvert and extrovert type approach. I'm just going to be very transparent with you. I don't care if you're introvert. I don't care if you're extrovert. There's going to be moments where you're going to have very transparent, uncomfortable conversations with people. But first of all, we need to unpack, what does that look like? First, let's identify the issue. And when I say the issue, I mean the root cause, not the surface layer, because we do a lot of surface layer solving, and then that same issue pops up and we're shocked and surprised. So we must do a root cause, almost like what they say, a root cause analysis, and then prepare your approach. Frame it as a discussion for growth, not criticism. See, when you come at somebody and you lead with a you're criticizing you, because it's all about how your voice is posture, how your body structure is postured. So we must go in and lead it as a growth opportunity and have the conversation, address concerns directly, but have some empathy. I'm not telling you if it's just completely out of whack and you've had multiple conversations or a couple conversations, whatever. That tone, yeah, I get it. That tone may change, but we must have empathy when we have to address something. And then establish next steps. Agree on actions and follow up timeline. Here's my actionable tip for you today, family. Growth begins at the edge of discomfort. Oh, that's so powerful. Address issues early. Small conversations prevent bigger problems later. You know, those conversations that we duck, we hide, we move. Well, we don't need to do that anymore. We need to address it directly and see where we land. Don't let titles limit your learning. A lot of times, you know, you've been there before. You probably have, or maybe it's just me, where they say, well, you know, that's not in my title description. That's not what I do. And I always say, sometimes it depends how, okay, I'm gonna be real. If you really wanna be transparent and we really wanna address that head on, look at the job description, because it does say down at the bottom of your job description or the job you apply for is that other duties may apply. And why wouldn't you want to learn different technical skills or business skills or people skills, especially people skills, having the ability to negotiate, conflict resolution, coaching techniques? These are things that are transferable skills. If you got out the craft of project management, you could take that skill set to any particular career, because these are things that are always going to be required. Technical skills, data analysis, programming basics, systems thinking, like having the ability to look at systems and think deeper and richer, business skills, financial literacy, strategic planning, and market awareness. What's hot in our market? What's the trends? How can we find our niche? There's a book actually that I'm reading right now. And I thank Russell for that, because he mentioned it in one of his episodes. It's called Play Bigger. And he talks about category kings, how they become category kings. Because when the iPhone came out, there was a phone that was kind of similar to that. Or when you think about the Jawbone, you know, the wireless headset piece, there were nobody in the market that had that. But then when they seen it, people started modeling it and making it better. And then they became a category king. So being able to be cognizant and aware of a market awareness is definitely key. And it's a skill set. Again, I don't care what profession you're in, that's a transferable skill. Growth is really built on intentions. I always talk about these things is address conflict, communicate consistently, and set boundaries. Having the ability to have intellectual confrontations with clarity and communicate with clarity allows you to separate the emotions from the actual issue. Hey, I understand how you feel, but let's talk about the root cause here. Let's talk about what's actually going on. Is there something that's happening on at home? Is there something that's happening on within the team that I'm not aware of that you can make me aware of? Communicate consistently. Ensure alignment. And my favorite word is I should get like a bell. Ding, 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 ding. Transparency is huge as well. So clear communication is a powerful tool when you are able to articulate yourself in a clear, concise fashion. It really helps clear up any ambiguity that we have in our way. And when I say even just communicate, being able to send an email or send a written confirmation of what we discussed and what we heard, and don't be so quick to be forming judgment or judging already without listening to the person, which we call active listening, before you make a judgment call. And then set boundaries. You must protect your time. When you're leading a project, you're going to get pulled a lot. And so you must set a boundary as far as blocking off time in your schedule so you can update your artifacts, your project management plan, your project schedule, your risk register, etc. So it is really important. Here's my actionable tip. Success isn't just about certifications, even though I love them. It's about choosing growth even when uncomfortable. Family, I hope you take action. I'll give you today to think it over, but tonight I'm hoping that you're starting to write down your plan. Just choose one habit that we discussed today here. And then I ask of you, put a 30-day plan in place. Practice, experiment what we discuss about it. And then check in with your team. Schedule follow-ups to maintain accountability. Accountability is king. When someone says they're going to do something and then they don't do it, then and you have someone that's accountable toward them and they say, hey, why didn't you do that? Well, this came up. Okay, I'm going to do it such and such day. All right, cool. I'm going to follow up again. So accountability is king. So anyone can know what to do, basically. The different maker is having the ability to take action. Execution, like Eric Thomas says, execution is worship. And it's true. A lot of people talk about it. They write down the plan. And I've been guilty of all this. So I'm not telling you something that I heard that it sounds good or I read. I know this for a fact. Every time that I've tried to overplan something and write down this long list, I may have get out of that 10 on there, I may have got one or two of them done. So This is how transformation begins, and that's how leadership is actually built. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.